Thursday night, so I'm going to pick an AM today. I don't want to get in trouble with her again. Although she didn't give me no trouble, to tell you the truth. Mr. Roddy's been speaking for 5 weeks. And since he is getting old and needs a rest, he asked me if I would take this morning. Can you turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians 1 and 9? We're going to be looking at two portions of Scripture, and Psalms 1 and 1. I'm going to base my message this morning on these two portions of Scripture, although they will not be my main text. It's just something I want to take from them. Over the last 6 months or so, I've been studying the different walks in the Bible where it tells us how to walk the Christian life, walk as a child of God. And this morning I want to speak on walking in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1 and 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto the pleasing, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Psalms 1 and 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsels of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I believe that it's impossible to walk the Christian life properly without having knowledge of God's Word. It's why He gave it to us, so we could have the right frame of mind and walk in walking with Him. And any time you think of studying God's Word, one portion of Scripture comes to mind, or one verse usually comes to my mind, and that's 2 Timothy 2 and 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And this verse is very important. I mean, when you think about it, it's our responsibility as Christians to know God's word. But I believe in the verses leading up to this verse, Paul gave Timothy some tips, some things that can help us all get a knowledge of God. I'm going to start at verse 1 and work my way down to verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 and 1. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Down to verse 7. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble, as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he shall also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them therefore before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting or ruin of others. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The first thing Paul tells Timothy in this is to be strong. Now, Paul's not talking about physical strength. It's my understanding from the Word of God that Timothy had frailties. Paul's talking about strong as a Christian. Being strong in your faith as a Christian. As I said earlier, I believe it's impossible to walk the Christian life correctly without having a knowledge of God's Word. You show me a Christian that isn't in God's Word and isn't reading God's Word, and I'll show you a weak Christian. It'll be a Christian that doesn't attend church, although some will attend church and not read the Bible. But he will be a weak Christian. He won't be walking rightly with the Lord Jesus. And I'm not talking about missing a day here, missing a day there. I'm talking about someone that goes years, months and years, and doesn't read God's Word. The next thing Paul says in verse 2 is, what you have been taught, teach. Most of the time, a lot of us, when we come in here, we'll listen at what's being said. We'll go out that door and we'll leave that radio. We'll forget completely. I'll give you an example. I'll quiz you. Who could remember what Uncle Frank spoke on? Uncle Frank was speaking just about 2 weeks ago. How many in your mind, you don't have to answer me, could remember what Uncle Frank spoke on? I see people's minds wondering. And Susanna, you ain't got to tell me. I know it was Elijah. I remember. And a lot of times we just leave it here. But Paul tells Timothy to remember it. It's what we come for. We come to learn, to remember, to keep it, to help us in our Christian walk. The next thing he says is so they could teach. He says, commit it to faithful men. God's looking for faithful men to teach his word. Now, there's plenty I could say on this, but I don't want to get into the principles of the New Testament church right now. But my main thought on this is, a lot of people, a lot of men will say, well, Jeremy, I am not a preacher. I ain't got that gift. I can't get up there. I can't do this. I can't do that. Let me ask you, how many in here that knew Jeremy 20 years ago, when I was riding around with air below my shoulders, 6 earrings in my ears, listening to the most wicked music that could be listened to, with a drink in my hand, would have thought that I was going to be here today speaking to you? Bring it a little bit closer. 8 years ago, when I was sitting in one of these seats, never standing, never saying a word, how many of you would have thought that I was going to be here today? Ask Mr. Roddy or any of the other men if he thought when Maurice came to him and said Jeremy was going to the Bible study that it'd result in Jeremy standing here today. But let me tell you, if you study God's Word, you'll realize if you have a gift and you'll be able to use it. When I went to that Bible study 7 years ago, it was the furthest thing from my mind that I would ever pick up a Bible and speak to people. When I went, I never intended to study after that Bible study. But when God's Word was opened in that Bible study, I realized something. I realized that it was my obligation as the Lord Jesus priest to know his word, as his child, to know his word. And as I studied his word, I realized it was opening I understood. And thank the Lord, all the leaders in the church realized it too. And they gave me this opportunity to be able to speak. Who knows today if the next Larry Price or Keith Kaiser or Randy Amos is sitting in this audience? None of us. But let me tell you something. If God's given you a gift and you don't study His Word and you don't use it, none of us will never know. The next thing Paul says is endure hardness. Anybody who's been a Christian knows that the Christian life is not easy. It ain't no bed of roses. Although many get up in public and on TV and they'll tell you if you get saved, you could be rich, you ain't be sick no more. Your problems will end, your money problems will end, everything's going to be rosy and peachy ever after. Well, the Lord Jesus told us to take up His cross. And that cross ain't easy to carry. But I believe and I know that there is no problem that could come to a Christian that the Word of God cannot answer. And if we study and we know it, any problem that comes our way, we will be able to address from the knowledge of His Word. The next thing He says is to be a good soldier. I like how Paul likens it to being a soldier. Because the Christian life has to be disciplined. There's no greater discipline shown than in a soldier. And I know if y'all like me, I have a certain time that's set aside every day for me to read and study God's Word. And if I get out of my bed that morning, which is the time when I do it every day, when I'm home, when I'm away, whenever it is, when I get out of my bed, I go into my study, or I lay in my bunk, and I read God's Word. If I miss that, 9 chances out of 10, I ain't going to pick it up that day. It's going to be set aside, and I'm going to go into other things, and I'm not going to pick it up that day. If we don't discipline ourselves and set an edict, a certain time aside to read and study God's Word, we're not going to do it. The next thing Paul says in verse 7 is consider what I say. Don't just read it and put it down. Consider it. Meditate it. Think about it. What is God telling you? What was Paul telling Timothy? How could that apply to your life? But even more than that, Paul is telling him to consider what he says. Consider what I have taught you, what I am telling you. I could stand up here, and who knows if I'm telling you what this word says. If you ain't in God's Word, if you don't have an understanding of it, I could stand here and tell you anything, and you won't know if I'm telling you the truth. Paul says, consider it. Consider what I'm telling you. Consider what whoever stands here and there says. Does it line up with what the Bible says? If it don't, you could be being taught error and not even know it if you don't know what God's Word says. Then Paul tells him, God give you understanding. God has given us understanding of the Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, but the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You go out into the street to the unsaved person, and they can't understand God's Word the way we can. You see, we have a gift, every single one of us, from the day we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior, this Holy Spirit comes and indwells us and helps us to interpret His Word. He helps us to understand it. He shows us the meanings. And with this gift, every single one of us can understand what He says. But if we don't read it, there's no how the Spirit can interpret it to us, can help us to understand it. It's there for nothing if we don't read it. Then Paul goes into verse 8, into the things, the knowledge that every Christian needs to know, needs not to forget. He says, remember that Jesus was raised from the dead. Last Sunday we celebrated this, and I shared with you how I thought and how I know that the Lord Jesus' deity and virgin birth, being conceived of the Holy Spirit, was tied directly to Him being raised from the dead. If we don't know the truth in the Bible, such as the Lord Jesus was raised, every piece of our faith, everything in the Bible, hinges on that the Lord Jesus was raised. Paul says, if He wasn't raised from the dead, our faith is in vain. We are like all men, miserable, if He wasn't raised from the dead. And other truths. I mean, there's many that our faith hinges on. Such as, a few months ago, I was listening on satellite radio while I was away. And it was a preacher that I have been listening to for years. And I liked his speaking. I appreciated it. And he was speaking on the temptations of the Lord Jesus. And he said something that I know my whole Christian faith hinges on. He said he believed that when the Lord Jesus was tempted, that He could have sinned. And let me tell you something. If He could have sinned then, Revelation says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He could sin now if He could have sinned then. And our salvation is forever in jeopardy if He could have sinned then. So our faith hinges on that truth. And I could go on and on and on and on things that some Christians do not know that our faith hinges on because they do not read God's Word. They do not make it a purpose to know what it says. Then, Paul tells him that God's Word is not bound. It has no limits. We know today that the Bible is spread over the whole world. But my mind thinks on this. Years ago, only the well-learned people, only the important people, the people that could speak Latin, had a copy in the Bible. And then it got even worse. It got to where only the leaders in the church had a Bible, had portions of the Bible. And that age isn't known as the dark age for nothing. It was a dark time. The so-called believers, so-called Christian, so-called Christian church, took the Word of God away from the common Christian and told them what they thought it said. But thanks to King James, and there's a specific reason why this Bible is called the King James Version. King James, after he was saved, saw fit that it would be interpreted into English and it would be accessible to every Christian. And in the Reformation, men died to see that ones like you and me would be able to read God's Word. And even today, There's people in China, and Iraq, and Iran, in different parts of the world, that would do anything to have a copy of His Word, to be able to read it. Many of them would just have the New Testament, or maybe the book of John, and they will read it and read it and read it until the pages drop to pieces. What does your Bible look like? Is your Bible worn? Thank God. It is a treasure. It's something that we could all have. You would not believe the people right in Eleuthera that Mr. Freddie and I, and mostly Mr. Freddie, have given Bible to that said, you know, I did not even have a Bible. Thank you very much. And I'm overjoyed because they have a chance to read God's Word. And then there's Christians like I was that take it, sit it on a shelf, let it gather dust, and the only time they pick it up is to bring it to church. Don't let your Bible gather dust. Read it. People died for you to have it. Then Paul says, if we deny Him, He'll deny us. If we suffer, I thought about that, the suffering. How do I suffer for the Lord Jesus? I know there's Christians around the world that are persecuted. I hear about it all the time on Christian news. Men and women that are burned. I heard just a while ago about in India, a whole family of nine, locked in the house caught on fire, and burnt because they had a Bible. Burnt alive because they had a Bible. I don't know any way that I suffer like that. And then I know people that can't get out of their bed 1 hour earlier to read God's Word. That'll say, I just don't have time. I don't have time to do that. What is a little bit of suffering, a little bit of giving of your time to read God's Word? Think of how He suffered for us. Think of how He went to the cross and died and paid our penalty and suffered for us. And then we can't give back just a little bit of time to be able to know how to walk and live for Him. Then Paul tells him again, remember these things. Make it a purpose to remember what you read, what you learn, what you hear and hear. On Thursday night, when I was speaking on temptation, I said that you didn't have to know exactly what the Word said. And I was speaking on temptation, and I understand some may have misunderstood what I said, and I apologize for that. But it's obvious you can't remember every piece of Scripture that you read. You can't. I know of people who've put some of it, Old New Testament, but the common person can't memorize every piece of Scripture. But we could remember what it says. We could know the gist of it. If you read a portion of Scripture, you could understand the meaning of it. And you could remember it. And it could get you out of temptation. And that's what I was referring to on Thursday evening. Yes, when we quote Scripture, we should always be sure that we quote it right. Because the person we are quoting it to could misinterpret. And many of Scripture has been quoted wrong and translated wrong and caused a lot of error in doctrine. But we need to remember what we taught. We need to remember the meaning. We need to remember the just of it. Then Paul tells him, strive not about words of no profit, but to the subverting or ruin of other eros. And this is what Paul is talking about. He's talking about words in Scripture that could be twisted, and portions of Scripture that could be twisted and turned around, and it'll destroy the person that has it, destroy their faith, lead them down the wrong road. And we take a lot of time in this life to words that mean nothing, and so little time to the words of Scripture that mean so much. Then he tells them to charge them before the Lord to remember these things. Those of us in here that will speak us, teach us, have anything to do with telling anything about the Lord's Word, do well to take this to note. To tell the people you're teaching to remember what you're saying and to remember it correctly. Every truth in God's Word is important. Then Paul tells us to study to show thyself approved in verse 15. How do you do anything without knowing how to do it? If you get a game to play with your family, you don't just take that game and play it any old way that you want. It has rules. You play it according to the rules. If you get a new piece of equipment for fishing, you get a new GPS, you don't just try to use that GPS however you want. You read the instructions to find out how to use it. So how do we expect to walk the Christian life without using the instructions? Without using the knowledge that God has given us? Then he says to show thyself approved. I like the interpretation that Believer's Bible Commentary puts on this. William MacDonald put it like this. To show that you are a Christian. To show those around you that God approves of you. That you're living like Him. That you are born again. The Bible says we're supposed to live like Christ. We're supposed to be conforming daily to His image. Then he says a workman. We sometimes refer to those like Brother Tom, Uncle Frank, as full-time ministers. But every single one of us that is a Christian has someone in our life that we could teach about God's Word. Mothers and fathers have children. Children have their parents. Grandfathers have their grandchildren. Workmen, a carpenter, as those who work with him. Us as fishermen, as others who work with us. There's always somebody in your life that you could teach about God's Word. But how could you teach what you don't know? You can't. You'll be a blind, as they say, a blind leading the blind. You can't teach it. Then he says that needeth not to be ashamed. Shame is something that is all but lost in society today. Most immorality is accepted as the normal. If we don't know God's Word, if we don't have a knowledge of it, how can we know what is immoral from what isn't? The writer to the Hebrews tells the Hebrews this in a good way. In Hebrews 5 and 12, he says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers ye have need that one teacheth you again, which to be the first principles of the oracles of God, and to become such as have need milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of the use have their senses exercised to discern good from evil. I know Christians today who don't know any more about the Bible than they knew 20 years ago when they got saved. If a 20-year-old man came walking down this aisle, crawling on his knees, going gaga goo goo, you'd say, what in the world is that? We don't expect for a grown, mature man to act like a baby. And God don't expect for a Christian who should be mature to act like a babe in Christ. He expects us to have a knowledge of His Word that will help us to grow. Then He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. When the enemy attacks, if we don't know God's Word, when somebody challenges your faith, can you answer them? Can you tell them how to be saved? Can you tell them why you believe the things you believe? Can, if someone asks you and tells you that we're breaking the fourth commandment by not keeping Saturday holy and meeting on Sunday, can you tell them why? We don't keep the Sabbath. We meet on Sunday. You're doing it. If you're doing something, you should know why. You should not just take it for granted that I'm telling you or that the elders of the assembly is telling you. You should be able to tell them that it's the only commandment that isn't mentioned in the New Testament. You should be able to tell them that it's the day the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and that's why we meet. You should be able to tell them that the Lord Jesus is our Sabbath. He is our rest. And a lot of other things that we should be able to tell them if challenged by the enemy. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, tells them that we are at war with a great and powerful enemy. I ain't going to read the scripture. I don't have time. We all know what it says. He goes forward to tell us, to tell them the things that they should wear. And he likens them to military. He says, the girdle of truth. Put on the girdle of truth. How do you know what's truth? If you don't read the Bible. The breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is just what it sounds like. Rightness. How do you know what's right if you don't check it for yourself? The shoes of the gospel. How do you know the gospel? It's found in the Bible. It's the greatest thing that has ever been done. It's the greatest news ever. The shield of faith. How can you have faith in God's promises if you don't know them? And if you don't read the Bible, you won't know those promises. The helmet of salvation. Can you prove that you could never lose your salvation? Can you go to the Bible and show where we are eternally secure? We should know. We should be able to. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. And this speaks for itself. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. We should know the Word of God in order to be an effective Christian, in order to live for Him, in order to walk in His knowledge, and to walk how He wants us to walk. It's a great weapon we have been given to defeat the enemy. And if you think that you could walk through this Christian life right and just zoom through it without reading God's Word, you're very mistaken. It's very important. God gave it to us for a reason. We have an obligation to read it and to know it. And it's not only an obligation, it is a privilege, and a great privilege, to be able to have God's Word and to read it. I hope that everybody in here is in God's Word. And I realize, all through preparing this message and studying for it, that I am speaking to the faithful. I'm speaking to the ones, almost everybody in here is here every single meeting that this church meets. And you are the faithful. So I trust we all are in God's Word and learning, and that we'll use it to walk in His knowledge and walk the Christian life. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You that we live in a time that we have Your Word. We have, by no doubt, the inspired, spoken Word of God, which is complete and totally true. And we pray with Your help that we would learn it, that we would read it, and that we would understand it, and that we would use it to walk with the Lord Jesus, to walk this life according to how He wants us to. And we ask Your blessing on each and every one. In Jesus' precious and worthy name, amen.